There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Would you like a piece of rock, Mr. Candy? It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Barb Hartley. And when I'm in drag as a boy named Brett Wyatt, I'm also senior reporter, producer for Decider.com. We are now entering the gayest month of the year, June Pride Month, which is honestly like any other month, I guess, for my gay ass. But say hello to the Ricky, to my Fred, Ethan K. Hello, Ethan.
Hello, Barb. I do not mind being Ricky, but Fred is Fred. Fred is the joy that lights up every room. William Frawley, a 60-something-year-old man, at least.
he was born in the 1800s. I do know that. He is an old man. But yes, this is Pride Month, so I will be taking us on a guided tour. Okay, also, just so this is a Palm Springs episode, so if you're not watching the YouTube, I am dressed as a beautiful Palm Springs getaway woman. Let me see if I could show off it.
It is a fantastic outfit. Oh, I didn't realize that didn't have legs.
What? It's a bathing suit, baby.
It's a bathing suit that matches the robe.
My caftan and bathing suit, and I am wearing no corset or pads. Because I've been in drag for most of the day, because I got in drag too early, and I gotta tell you, I might start doing this for Must Have Seen TV. I don't know.
It's pretty
no corset and pads.
I love that the hat matches the eyes, and the caftan matches the bathing suit, and the bathing suit also matches the eyes, which matches the hat. It is. Everything matching and put together perfectly.
Hold on, Mr. K, hold on. Before we keep talking, I do need to apply some more lipstick. Let me just take... Oh, well, look, my makeup bag matches too. Oh.
It matches everything.
That's drag, baby. And also our wallpaper in our apartment. It's the Golden Girls Blanche bedroom banana leaf. And we have that in our...
You should have a mojito, because all those colors are mojito colors.
And I... On it, like... Yeah, so I was like, well, I'm only going to do drag from the waist up. And then I was like, well, let me just put on everything except for the corset and like the pads and the five layers of pantyhose. And I now understand. So this bathing suit has the ruching at the tummy,
okay,
which I now understand that hides the tummy. And I got the cover up, so I still look like a beautiful woman, even though I have done nothing to alter my man body, except I am wearing boobs. So I'm doing a bosom buddies kind of drag. That's what this is. But I look so much more feminine and pretty than Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari ever did.
I feel bad that you put on the drag earlier this evening, when I thought we were going to be recording earlier, and we are recording at currently 9:30 at night on May 29th, Memorial Day. But we're here, and we're going to do this great, a fantastic episode of I Love Lucy.
Oof. With Rock Hudson.
With Rock Hudson.
Which is the, so usually, I always try and do something special for Pride Month. I don't know if I did last year. actually, because I was on sabbatical. Hiatus. And so this year, since we have a new, like, you know, tripping through the decades theme, I was like, well, let's start at the 50s is up. And so I was trying to see what we could talk about in the 1950s, and like, ooh, lordy. There are a lot of like talk shows about, like, I mean, they're called like the homosexual menace and stuff like that. And I was like, I would love to do one of those. Like, let's be honest.
I want to say 15, 20 years ago, I got like a whole bunch of like very strange, like found footage videos from 5 Minutes to Live, which is an amazing video company. So that included like the Brazilian version of Star Wars. Mm. It included the Turkish Wizard of Oz, just like weird remakes and like weird things. And one of them was a public safety, public health, big air quotes, about the homosexual menace.
What year?
1950s.
Maybe. Oh, we should have done that. Well, maybe that'll be a bonus. We'll see. Well,
it's one of those things that if someone else wanted to watch it, I don't know how easily it would be able to be found. It's
called walk them through, you know.
It's called Perversion for Profit, and it goes against, you know, pornography as much as anything else.
I was like, man, am I supposed to be getting paid for being a homosexual? Jeez, I've missed out.
You guys are getting paid?
Oh, man. So I was like, well, let's. So if you go on Wikipedia, maybe people don't know this, you can search for, just Google like list of TV episodes with LGBT themes, and it will take you to a Wikipedia list that is organized, and it's all like pre-Ellen. So it's like there is pre-Stonewall. So there's like, you know, beginning of television to 69, and then there's 1970 to 97. Or no, there's like, then there's 70s, 80s, and then 90 to 97. So the pre-Stonewall one is a lot like 50s is, the first episode of Lucy is on there because there was a joke. I can't remember what the joke was, but it was a joke that inferred that a man had been, like, it was like a list of names. It was like a misunderstanding of like, oh, he's like, he's been with everyone, Julie, Amanda, Irving, you know, like that. Oh, okay. It's kind of like Home Alone 2 has the exact same joke when they're like, you've been with everybody, Stinky Pete with the gimpy leg or whatever, you know. But then it's all just like a whole bunch of like local talk shows with people debating on whether or not homosexuals are real or should exist or are dangerous.
Are they real?
Are we?
Mysteries with Robert Stack.
Mm. So that's why when I saw, I was like, well, we could do an I Love Lucy. And I saw Rock Hudson, Palm Springs, I Love Lucy. It was like, well, geez, there you go.
Yeah,
that's a gay trio right there.
Well, I mean, Rock Hudson for a lot of people was the first time that someone that they knew was identified as a homosexual.
Yes.
When he died, unfortunately,
because of he passed away of AIDS.
I did go see the AIDS quilt, and I saw his, I believe I saw his square.
Oh, wow.
I came to Lafayette College at a time where I think it might have just been a portion of it, because it was very big at the time. And when I want to say this was early 90s, probably. And there were just a lot of like names that you'd recognize on
that. Wow.
Have you ever seen the AIDS quilt?
I don't think so. I've seen a quilt. I mean, like, I've seen some quilt. I don't know if it was it might have been the AIDS quilt. A quilt came to my college. It was a big quilt. I don't know if it was that. This was the early 2000s, though. And I feel like at that time, were we done with it? Like,
I'm kind of surprised that you can't identify the quilt. It could have been like the Habitat for Humanity quilt.
It was
just
a random ass quilt. No, I mean, I was also deeply closeted in college. I thought that I was a heterosexual man. Look at me now. I have lots of information about Rock Hudson. I got information about Palm Springs. We will get into as we go through the episode.
I have a little bit of information about I Love Lucy. I know that you covered I Love Lucy before.
Oh, we've done so many episodes. Yes.
Not with me, but it's one of those shows that kickstarted so many things in sitcoms and in television.
It created the sitcom. We wouldn't have streaming services today if it wasn't for Desi Arnaz. It's because he's the one who invented the rerun, which is what streaming services used to be built on. And now they're built on. Truly, we don't know, because they don't want you to watch their originals and they don't want to have a library of anyway. Pay the writers. Other things, keep striking, guys. So this week we'll be traveling to April 25th, 1955. A Man Called Peter ruled the box office. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White by Perez Prado topped the charts. And CBS aired the I Love Lucy episode In Palm Springs. Ethan, you must have seen In Palm Springs before today.
As much of I Love Lucy as I have not seen In Palm Springs.
So, like, yeah, like, I, you know, Lucy was... Nick at Night loved Lucy, obviously. But they, on Saturday nights, they used to play, like, maybe an hour of I Love Lucy and then the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour. But it was always a big deal, like, Saturday nights, me and my parents would watch the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, which is what the show is retitled to for the last three seasons, I do believe.
I think it was the last season when they went to hour-long episodes.
Yeah, and it ran over a number of years, but it was only did, like, I don't know, 30 episodes a year. It was, like, really...
Well, she kept on coming back with shows that had the same writers.
Yeah, it's wild that she had three back-to-back shows that all ran a minimum of like six seasons. And I mean, it's why, so like, there's I Love Lucy, the Lucy Show, yeah, and Here's Lucy, and
then there was Life with Lucy, all of which had Bob Carroll Jr. as a writer. Yeah. And most of them had Madeline Davis as a writer.
And it's kind of wild, like, I've heard people talk about how she kind of competed with herself in syndication, because, you know, she has three hit shows, which is wild because that never happens in the olden days. That never happened. And but like, when syndicators are looking at which Lucy show do we want to syndicate, they're always going to pick I Love Lucy. They're never going to. Yeah. And then sometimes they'll pick the Lucy Show. Here's Lucy.
In 2012, it was rated. It was voted the best show of all time.
So, yeah, like, I can get, so just like, overview, the Lucy Show, I Love Lucy, invented the three camera setup. It invented sitcoms being filmed in LA on film, live in front of an audience with a three camera setup, and reran.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's like, literally, it invented television. And it's not even hyperbolic to say that, like, the fact that in the year 2023, there are still shows that are shot live in front of an audience with three cameras in LA on film, maybe digital, but like, they invented a thing that was so perfect right out the gate that we just never needed to change it. And any deviations from it, the thing they created has still remained. Like, it still exists.
And the thing about this show specifically is it was filmed in 35 millimeter. So all the reruns and all the digital reruns look and sound fantastic.
We've done so many 1950s shows, and I Love Lucy is just so far ahead. I mean, I Love Lucy looks a lot better than, okay, like, I'm watching Project Runway from 2008. Mm-hmm. And in the early 2000s, when digital tape came around, and we all thought it looked good, and then we got HDTVs, and we were like, what is this horrible interlacing? Everything is so sharp. The lighting is so harsh. It looks like everything is staticky. And it's like, I Love Lucy, it looks better than stuff that was made 20 years ago, which is wild.
It's sharp where it needs to be sharp. It's soft where it needs to be soft. It is a joy to look at. And I've complained about this on the show before. I just finished watching Deadwood on HBO, a show that started in 2006. And, like, it doesn't look good on my TV.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if did it look good when it first came out? Because I'm watching it on Max, HBO Max now. And it's, the colors don't look great. The sharpness isn't there. And Lucy looks, to this day, fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think the literal only thing that we need AI for, the only thing, motherfuckers, is going back to old television shows and making them HD. That is it.
Clean them up.
That's all we need. We do not need literally anything else. I've been also very depressed over the past the past couple of days. I can't even get on the whole Target stores, which I knew was going to happen. I was like, Target has had a Pride collection in their stores for like the last 5 years.
And it's been great.
Like, and now all of a sudden, of course, idiots are losing their goddamn minds. So that's been really bumming me out. And then all the AI stuff is just really like, why are we putting a gun to our heads, everybody? Like, it's fun.
We went to Target last night, and they did have a Pride section, but compared to years before, it was very toned down.
Yeah, we're in New York.
This is Hudson Valley, New York. So where before you might get, let's say, rainbow overalls, here it was like a tasteful gray sweatshirt with a little like rainbow on the sleeve. It really felt muted compared.
Yeah, I guess they probably moved a lot of the stuff, which is really great. Really, does Target sell Bibles? Does Target sell Bibles?
Yes. Yeah.
Then I want them out. I want those Bibles out of the Targets. Like, I mean, that's honestly like, but they would never do that. And that's just the hypocrisy. And it's great.
We did get our.
I actually don't care about there being Bibles in Target.
We bought our cat a little ribbon toy, and the ribbons were different rainbows. And that was it was in the same aisle with a big stuffed dog bone that had in rainbow letters the word growth written on it.
I don't like that.
Which is a strange thing because it implies that your dog was homophobic and he's getting better about it.
Yeah, he's That's coming a weird around. Weird
thing to identify with your dog.
Woo! So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we'll be talking about the I Love Lucy episode in Palm Springs. It's the 26th episode of season 4, and boy, I think you can tell. And it was written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr., directed by William Asher. That's the dream team that made almost all the episodes. Yep. Here's how Paramount Plus describes the episode. Due to simultaneous marital tiffs in the Ricardo and Mertz households, Lucy and Ethel take off on a girls-only vacation to Palm Springs. Ethan, how accurate is that description?
Totally. Totally.
Except for the Rock Hudson of it all. But honestly, there really isn't a lot of Rock Hudson. So
cool little thing about this is why is this sitcom now centered in California?
Because
are New Yorkers. This is a New York show. It was very proudly New York.
Never seen any of the LA episodes?
That's what it is that for 30 episodes in season 4, they
Ricky goes out to make a movie.
They drive out.
It's also LA. So we think about sitcoms as being episodic and, you know, there being no, like, you hit the reset button at the end of every episode, which is honestly what they became and still primarily kind of are, this kind of sitcom. And Lucy was that, but then also Lucy decided there's an actual story arc of her like saying we're expecting because they couldn't say the word pregnant, but that, like, there's a pregnancy arc in season 2. Yeah. And then so Ricky, and it's I think it's also like the same actor because he's like 2 in this episode, which makes sense. And then there's Ricky gets a job on a movie. They then show them driving. They have like 2 or 3 episodes of them in the South and like across the country. And then they get to LA. Then they're in LA for the rest of the season. There's a Europe like stint in season 5, I do believe. And then at the end of season 6, they move to the country and have like a dozen or something episodes set in the farmhouse that Lucy is a comedy hour. So it really was like you had to watch because actually their status quo changed. Like it's crazy.
It's pretty wild. The them leaving New York and driving to California, that's one of those things that's kind of like really associated with the show, kind of like the Vitamin and Vegemin and the candy.
All them in the car,
All them in the car driving across the, I think it was the George Washington Bridge. Mm-hmm. It leads to this, where they live in Hollywood, which is 2 hours away from Palm Springs, so they can have a Palm Springs episode with Rock Hudson.
Yes. And so the 2 hours thing, and I think this is, I mean, I saw it on a website. So I was like, why was Palm Springs so gay? And first of all, everyone, you can go to LGBTQPSHistory.org. So LGBTQ Palm Springs History.org, PS History. And this is an actual like a nonprofit museum collection that's actually preserving and exhibiting the queer history of the desert area and Palm Springs. So that's cool. And I definitely want to do that. But so what I read was that a lot of the actors back in like the golden era of Hollywood were on contract at their studios. And a lot of those contracts had the morality clause, like Rock Hudson definitely had a morality clause, which is why one of the many reasons why he could not be an out homosexual. And also he had the press machine of his agent and stuff planning the fake stories about him dating women, etc. So like all that's working. Also in the morale in the clauses was apparently a 2-hour like radius limit. Like some actors under contract, you could not be further than 2 hours away from like LA, I guess on like downtime or something. Like you had to essentially like you had to be on call, you know, like you're a doctor at your beeper. So you had to remain within 2 hours of LA, and Palm Springs is 2 hours away. And so it ended up becoming like the enclave, the like place where the gays could go and like chill, because it was as far as they could get away and as private as they could get. So
yeah, I wonder if that was like because of the, and I'm wondering about the 2-hour thing. Is that part of the studio system where you would do whatever the studio said?
Yeah,
you're making a movie with a talking mule one day. Yep. The next day you're making a war film, and the day after that you're making a romance set in Berlin.
That was Hayden's 1950. That was Hayden Noreck. Yeah. And his 12 movies he made in 1950. It's wild.
My God.
So yeah, so Lucy opens up with the classic, so you know, the classic syndication opening of the heart on the satin with the, you know, da da da. When it originally aired, they were like little cartoons advertising cigarettes and stuff.
Yeah, Philip Morris.
So
Philip Morris was forever linked with I Love Lucy.
Well, and especially at this time. So to jump ahead to the must have facts, I was, you know, trying to find out the ratings. And for some reason during this week, there was a lot of op-eds and just people in newspapers being like, are ratings really measuring like what people are watching? We polled 40,000 people. And it turns out, you know, Lucy's number one in Nielsen, but in our poll, it was fourth. And there are all these like competing, there were like three different competing rating systems. And so they were like showing they're number one in Telestar, but number three in Nielsen, like just crazy stuff. So apparently because Lucy had two alternating sponsors, Nielsen counted it as two different shows, like Lucy sponsored by Philip Morris and Lucy sponsored by whatever the other one was. Oh my God. Like, well, those are different. And it's like, okay, that's wild.
The animations at the beginning with the Philip Morris things were done by the same studio that did the Flintstones at the same time they were doing the Flintstones.
Yeah, I can see that. They're cute.
If you can find old, there are Flintstones ads for cigarettes where they,
yeah,
Fred and Barney are both smoking away.
God, good old days, baby. No.
The good old days.
So the episode starts with all of them in their LA apartment, which I just love because it is so mid-century. It's honestly like their apartments in New York look very old.
Tenement, like, right? Like, yeah, I remember. They're not as kept up as the LA.
So they have an original apartment and then they move to a nicer one, maybe in season two, where that has another room, I guess, for Ricky. I might be making that up. But there is, because you can tell because there's a window. There's the first apartment they live in doesn't have a window on the back wall, then they move to one that does. And that one looks a little bit nicer. But this apartment is like, you can tell they went to LA and they dropped some dollars wherever they're staying. Like the furniture is so mod. It's like an IKEA installation, but authentic, you know? And I just, I love it.
Did Ricky end up doing the movie?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if they would deal him that harsh of a blow.
Well, things happen. In this one, he thought he was going to get a role and he ran for it and it ended up not happening. Spoilers, he didn't get into a role this episode.
And just in general, I love everything Fred Mertz wears. I have written an article about this.
Yes, I will say I had a note for right at the end where he comes in at the pool wearing a black suit, a gray tie, a gray shirt
it's all monotone. Weird
lapels. And what did I write about it?
It's a double-breasted suit with peak lapels, and it looks so, and it's all like, he looks like a member of Interpol or something.
I said Fred looks great. That's what I wrote in my notes. Fred looks great.
For just lounging around the LA apartment, all of them being depressed and bored, he's wearing a gorgeous, like, double-breasted suit with the biggest lapels and just, oh, perfect. He's doing drag, honey, and I love it.
William Frawley's an interesting cat. People didn't like him.
Oh, he was a horrible drunk.
He was a horrible drunk. He had to agree not to drink before shooting, which he did. It was one of those, if we catch you drinking, you will never be on the show again. He did not like Vivian Vance, his TV wife. Yep. She in hand did not like him.
Yeah.
There was a 22-year difference between age difference between the two. And it's palpable in this episode because there's so much of this episode is both of them saying how much they hate each other.
Ricky gets off the phone and he's hooked them up at the place in Palm Springs. And then like Lucy is looking at the paper, like, what are we going to do tonight? And she's like, oh, Rock Hudson. And Ethel's like, oh, there's Rock Hudson picture playing. She's like, no, Rock Hudson's staying in Palm Springs, setting that up. It's a movie called Captain Lightfoot.
It was called Captain Lightfoot. He was just finished a movie, and Ricky says he knows him.
No, I'm just like everybody.
They were going to go play golf in Palm Springs, but
yeah.
As the four of them are completely codependent, they cannot do anything independent of each other. They go out to LA together, they go vacation in Palm Springs together.
I do wonder what explanation. Because for a while I was like, in this entire first act, I was like, where is little Ricky? Like, these are just four adults bored. and I was like, well, you have a child who is a toddler. And then later on the episode, Lucy's mother is there with Ricky. And it's like, well, yeah, Mrs. McGillicuddy went, which is Lucy's maiden name, went to LA to watch Ricky. So it's like, well, why did Ethel and Fred go? Because you would think like we would be there to help watch Ricky, but it's like, no, they have the mom there for that. So they're just there to hang.
There are seven characters in this entire episode, and one of them is a child.
Yeah. Has no lines. Who they walk on. He's wearing really cute sunglasses, and then he walks right off.
Got a big laugh, and then that was it. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So Ricky, depressed. Then Lucy goes on a tear about this news report that she finds where a woman beat her husband with a baseball bat because he kept cracking his knuckles. And Lucy and Ethel think this is hilarious. They are howling with laughter, and I think it is sincere.
And Fred and Ricky are uncomfortable with this.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
This is also like back in the 50s. It's very much. I mean, OK, so I'll bring up this story now that this has actually led to it. Spousal abuse was where we were kind of like meh on that, weirdly. So Rock Hudson. We're getting into like step by step territory here. No. So Rock Hudson did get married, and he got married to. And this actually ties into around this episode. So like this is early 1955. In 1955, Confidential magazine, which was like the big tabloid, like the most ruthless tabloid, the tabloid that was out in all the homos. And they got a hold of Rock Hudson's story and they were like, oh, we publish in this. And so his agent, Rock Hudson's agent, Henry Wilson, was like, don't bury that story. I have two other stories. So we traded, including one about Tab Hunter being arrested 5 years prior, which is like, that's boo shitty. So he sold them those two stories in order to get them to pull the Rock Hudson story. And that is when Rock Hudson started dating Phyllis Gates, who was either Henry Wilson or Rock Hudson's secretary. I think it was Henry Wilson's secretary and other newspapers muddled it. So like they start dating. And according to her, she was like, we were dating. Like as far as like I was not in on it. Like I was like, I loved him. They dated for like most of the summer. Then like I was looking at newspaper articles today, just like waiting. When the fuck are they getting married? They're dating still. Jeez. And it was, you know, all over the newspapers. They were playing it down. Hedda Hopper was seeing them, and it was like, ooh, or the when they get married. And then all of a sudden, in November 9th, I think, 1955, they got married. They eloped. And then they, the marriage only lasted like 2.5 years. She filed for divorce in April 1958, citing mental cruelty.
Oh.
And Hudson did not contest it, and it went through. And now, so here's the article I found. This is one, just like in the Sasha Mitchell thing, you go to the Wikipedia and you read the Wikipedia version, it's like citing mental cruelty. And you would think like, well, yeah, he was a closeted homosexual under a whole lot of pressure. I'm sure he was playing, like, I'm sure he was not fun to be around. And also, she might have found out he was a homo and was like, this is mentally cruel to me. So here's the actual article that was published that like hit the AP.
Here we go.
So here's what she had to say. The actor was not present in court, but was represented by his attorney, Jared Lipsky. He wouldn't take me out. Hey, I don't know what she sounded like. He wouldn't take me out, she said. And he didn't like to wear ties or dress up. Once when I asked him why he wouldn't speak to me, he hit me, she said. A corroborating witness, Patricia Devlin, testified she was present when Hudson was in one of his moods and saw him strike his wife. She was in a complete state of collapse many times, Miss Devlin added. Mrs. Hudson said distress over the breakup of the marriage caused her to become ill, and she was hospitalized for 3 weeks on one occasion. Hudson did not visit her during that time, she said. Hudson, whose true name is Roy H. Fitzgerald, and his wife were married, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think that's all. She ended up, you know, getting, you know, money for 10 years. And she received the couple's $35,000 Hollywood Hills home and furnishings. So, you know.
When was this Lucy episode?
55, early 55. And this is like right. So like right after this is when Confidential gets him and then he gets married. So like. And then the 60s.
To that? Was this episode the use of Rock Hudson?
No, because this is before all that.
Hmm.
This is 55. And so this is him at like, you know, early career, early. Because then like Pillow Talk and stuff comes in like the late 50s and early 60s are all of his Doris Day musicals, of which Hayden Rourke is in. He's in two movies with Rock Hudson. Well, All That Heaven Allows and Pillow Talk.
He was a big name for movies that you don't particularly hear about these days, except Giant. He was in Giant, but he was regularly working. And then, you know, he changed everything. He changed it up, did these Doris Day films. People loved those.
I watched one on Friday. Very good. They're very cute.
He ends up doing McMillan and Wife with St. James. And then he kills her character off at the last season. It's just McMillan.
Hell yeah. But also he was very good friends with Hayden. Like they were very close. They were going to go on. They went on a cruise together in the early 80s to Alaska, etc. Fun times. They were good, good buds. So they're very much laughing at this story of spousal abuse, which I think is evidenced by the fact that like. Like, you know, and so Ricky is tapping his fingers. We basically then go through a round robin of all four of them have annoying habits. Their spouses all find them annoying. Ricky is tapping his fingers. And I will point out, Ricky's a percussionist.
Hey, by trade. I'm a percussionist, too. I do it constantly.
Yeah, like that's
my fingers. I tap my feet. And now it is a form of stimming, which is something that. It can be a sign of some things. It can be a sign of oncoming dementia. Can be a sign of autism. But it also can be something if you are stressed or depressed or anxious. They are behaviors, repetitive behaviors that can make you feel good. So I am feeling Ricky on this. It happens. I don't know if he does this in any other episode.
Yeah, that's the thing that always annoys me. Like, I'm always like, I want for once a character to call someone out for a thing that we have seen them. Like, there's an episode of Friends where they do this. It's like Rachel always chewing her hair. And it's like, this is the only time we've ever seen Rachel chew her hair. That's why when on Friends, they make fun of like Chandler's vocal tics of like, could you be wearing any? Like, it's funny because like, yeah, we have heard him say it, like talk like that all the time.
They've established a character that you can at least comment on.
Yeah.
And it's not something new. Lucy's tick is that she stirs her coffee. constantly
never stops.
Clink, 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 with a with a ceramic cup or a porcelain cup. Clink, 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 clink.
Yeah.
Fred Mertz's.
He jangles his keys in his pocket, is changing keys, just jingle, jingle, jingle. And then Ethel eats like a cow.
There's William
Jesus
Frawley.
Christ.
I know he didn't write this character, but the words come out of his mouth. He constantly trashes her appearance and says she looks and eats like a cow. And it is really fucked up and disturbing.
And I will point out, like, so when, you know, just to get ahead, the clothes are great. I wrote down like everything everyone was wearing in every scene almost. Ethel, when they finally get to Palm Springs, is honestly, I mean, like, she's wearing like a halter like dress with like a I'm a drag queen, I should know what these terms are, but like you can see her shoulder, like her entire like bust up is out. I mean, it's a like chest, you know, it's like a, it's a good summery dress, and I'm like, she's showing a lot of skin, especially for 1955. And it's because Vivian Vance was an attractive woman and was sizes are, every size is valid. I don't know what I'm getting into here. I'm just trying to say she was beautiful.
I will agree with that, to the point of saying, if I, you know, pick between Lucy and Ethel, I'd pick Ethel. Vivian Vance can get it. She's great.
Yes. And also hilarious.
Hilarious. And she stuck with Lucy through, Lucy?
She did all the way to half of Lucy's show, and then she came back for a couple of guest spots. She might have also done guest spots on Here's Lucy, but yeah, they ended up being good friends after having kind of a contentious start. So now everyone is making fun of everyone, and everyone's angry at everyone. And then this carries over into the next morning, where Ricky is wearing an amazing smoking jacket, and then Lucy comes out. It is, I don't know, 6 a.m. I don't know. People in the 50s got up really early, and she is wearing what I can only describe as a robe gown. It looks like a gorgeous, like it's made of probably like a robe material or like a quilted material. So it isn't like a fancy fabric, but like it is like high neck. And then it's slit open in the front, and she's wearing these smart like pants under it. And it's like, what is this amazing garment?
You noticed it too.
Jesus.
I noticed that more than I noticed Ricky's smoking jacket.
If a man is wearing a smoking jacket, I am noticing it.
But I noticed because Lucy just like fills up the screen with this like this.
It's a ball gown
all over the. It's really
a casual ball gown. It's so wide with sensible slacks.
But they're not talking.
No.
And she makes a point to just do a quick stir of her coffee and not clink 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 the glass. Or as was it Fred said, it was playing the anvil chorus on the coffee cup.
Yeah. Well, and then so Fred comes in because he's trying to get away from Ethel because they are also going, you know, popping off, having a hard time.
Yeah. Fred just walks the fuck in.
Yeah. And he's like, full Kramer. Hey, that's how codependent they are.
Yeah.
And then Ethel makes her way up there as well, of course. So all four of them are in there. Little Ricky, who knows?
He's, you know, directing his third movie.
I mean, is Lucy's mom and Ricky just in another apartment?
They're in Palm Springs.
Yeah, they're like, we're already out there in Palm Springs. Well, and then Lucy is like, you know, we've all been spending so much time together. You know, we drove out here together. No wonder we're all getting on each other's nerves. What if only one couple goes to Palm Springs? They're very on board with that. And Fred
just keeps calling Ethel fat, which is.
Yes. And it's like, it won't stop. And it's really annoying. But then Lucy points out, oh, we're paired off wrong. And then Fred's joke is, now she tells me. Oh, maybe Ethel says that. Because they're like, the person we're most annoyed by is our spouse. So why would we want to go to Palm Springs with them?
So she says, Ricky and Fred are a couple, and Ethel and I are a couple, and we'll go, and Ethel and I will go to Palm Springs. And Fred goes, why are you in, why are you in Ethel? And she goes, well, I picked a couple at random and it was us.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
Well, and then she's like, okay, well, I'll flip for it. And then she gets out a quarter and she's like, okay, so heads we go, tails you stay. And then Ricky immediately is like, no.
I'm sure that married.
I'm sure she's played that on the show before too. And so then she starts, you know, flipping, and then it's like, okay, best 2 out of 3, best 3 out of 4, best 5 out of 7, and then it gets into like betting odds, and I don't know those.
Well, he says, I'll let you two go so you don't get up to 357 out of 795, yeah, or whatever number you said. So it is Ethel and Lucy, and they're going to Palm Springs.
With, thank God, finally, the mother and Ricky. Little Ricky.
Since I hadn't seen the previous episodes, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, I was like, who is this strange older woman? Because
little Ricky is not with her.
Yeah, when we go to Palm Springs, it's just the three of these women.
Three of these women by the pool. There's no little Ricky. I forgot little Ricky was a thing.
It's like, it's the ghost that only Lucy and Ethel can see.
Oh, yeah. This boy that drowned in this pool 100 years ago today.
So they're in rain. So it's rainy Palm Springs, which I also have a story about because I love Palm.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Palm Springs, I have been twice. I want to retire there, like right now, honestly. I decided to become a drag queen in Palm Springs. It is gay Mecca. It is mid-century everything. I've never felt more alive.
Play in the lottery and it can make it happen.
God, I just... So when we went last year, it rained. And it was exactly like that. Like everyone... We were out and about. Like we... Round about, got caught in the rain. The next day, me and my friend Nicole went to a store, and I befriended the older homosexual in a neckerchief who was working there, and I asked him about his neckerchief, and then we talked. It was like, I just, my elders, I love this. But then he was just like, were you guys here for the rain yesterday? He was like, oh, we were all like, it was the talk of the town. Palm Springs was just, because I mean, it's probably been, I think, 10 years since that heavier rain to come. So this is true. This is real. It doesn't rain. It's the desert. And it gets up to about 116 degrees.
Ooh. Well, it's the first time in 20 years that it's raining. And
Lucy's looking outside and she's like, oh, why are you looking outside? It's like, oh, I thought a movie star would float by.
Yeah. But she does know that Rock Hudson is supposed to be in the bungalow next door.
Yes. And when
they believe that the boys are at home.
Oh, they're like, they're having it good. They are swimming and sunning.
I'm trying to read the jingling and tapping at the mm-hmm. pool. That's what they said, because it's probably nice in LA and it's raining.
And then like Ethel and Lucy start annoying each other with their same little tics. And they're just like, oh my God. And Lucy's like, I miss Ricky. And then Ethel's like, I can top that. I miss Fred, which I don't know. I liked. I mean, well, it's very low hanging fruit, but I laughed.
But I knew it was fake. I knew it was the script. So I'm like, they don't like each other.
And then Lucy's like, well, I should call and invite them to come out. And Ethel's like, no, you can't, because if you do, you'll set wives back 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
You forgive and they'll never let you forget.
So they're
are straight they're people Palm okay? That's
are straight people okay? No, we they're are act- not.
It's like they're but acting no like okay. couples on Property Brothers who are always like, he's gotta have a man cave to get away from her kitchen. Like that's what it always is.
Why can't you have both? You can have both.
And it's like, we have to live together? Oh my God. You know,
my budget's $7 million, but my job is I eat books for a living and my wife raises newts.
Wow.
And we have the right to be picky about everything.
I wrote an article I'm very proud of like 39 times couples cried on Property Brothers. And it's just like when they couldn't get rid of the ceiling beams, when the kitchen wasn't all white, like when it's really good. Yeah. So now we cut back to Hollywood and it is raining in Hollywood as well. And
Ricky and Fred are they're annoying each other with their own quirks.
Yeah. And basically this is the same beats as the previous scene. I mean, is this a Harold? Do we need to get into improv talk? But it's like very much like the first act is all four of them together. Act two is them like the girls are together, and then it's like a second beat of that, and then act three is a height like Rock Hudson comes in and beats the third beat.
You have all the characters come together, one big group game with Rock Hudson
with a big like, and why aren't they on the moon? No, God. But I did write, this is more recognizable as a sitcom than any other 1950s, probably even some of the 60s shows that we've done. Like, just in terms of like jokes per minute, performance, set, quality. Like, it's just the fact that this was airing at the same time as like Father Knows Best.
Yeah.
And like all those.
Think about it this way. We watched a Father Knows Best episode at back at Christmas time. And we watched this I Love Lucy episode now. This feels more like theater because it's in front of a live audience, getting live reactions. It is done with minimal sets versus Father Knows Best, where it is cinematic. We are in multiple locations. We are shooting from very different camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
We are outdoors. We are introducing... We have
a murderous hobo playing a murderous hobo Santa.
But it feels more like a 25-minute long short film than it does a sitcom. And I think that is one of the things that Lucy did, was it made it into a template that the other shows in the 50s...
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of the other ones. Life of Riley, same thing. They were on a college campus. They were in multiple rooms of a house. They were at a job site. They were in the bushes. Like they were.
Yeah,
it was filmed differently.
It was just, or like there were other ones that were doing sitcom stuff, but they look like crap because they weren't shot on film, or they're like kinescopes, like cameras on a TV. So like Lucy is this wild lightning in a bottle, just like we did everything right. We're the first ones to ever do it, and we did it all right.
And financially it probably made more sense
70 years ago. Yeah,
you're recycling a set rather than, okay, we're going to be at the college now, we have to be at a different part of the college, we have to be at the on the football field, we have to be outside the window and also inside the house. Like Lucy's like, if we leave this room it's going to be crazy. We'll do it, but I guess we'll be grumpy about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the candy factory, you know, you don't notice, like, they're in front of a blank wall. Like,
yeah,
because you notice the conveyor belt and like their performances, and it's like, well, they didn't need to spend money on like what's in a candy factory.
Because there's so many sitcoms, especially in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, where you will have the same two sets. Repeated, mm-hmm. repeated, repeated. And then every episode, there'll be a third location.
Yeah. Or you're like redressing a third set as a different apartment. And
maybe a third.
Silo on Apple TV, since all the apartments are the exact same.
Is that what you're watching these days?
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone watch Silo.
Are you watching anything that you like?
No. No, I mean Project Runway. I'm watching old Project Runway, and I mean RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 8 is entering into the phase of every season where you're just being gaslit by the producers, but it's real fun still. So it's like, sure, okay. Fun.
Yeah. I don't know. We are exiting the time of good television or even mediocre television, and we're stepping into the no writers, let's see what we got era of television, and that's going to be
hopefully pretty soon. No actors either. Come on, yeah. Sign those cards,
and maybe even no directors, because I
heard that
the directors are up for it too.
No, well, it's like if you don't got writers and actors, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, if you got what can you work with? Animation? Like you're gonna need voice actors?
So they're
CG? No, never mind.
Hey, no. So they're bored.
They're bored.
And then they get a call, and it's Dori Sherry's secretary, who Dori Sherry is spelled Dori Schary, and it's a man. He's a man. He's a producer. He's a prolific producer and like playwright.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I looked him up. Because when they said he later on, I was like, okay, how are they spelling Dori? Like, what is happening? And so I Googled and yeah, found that out. So he's like, they want a meeting with you, Mr. Ricardo. So he's like, cool, well, we'll go to Palm Springs now. Hooray.
And then
Then I wrote, we are finally at the pool. I'm like, this episode's called In Palm Springs. Then is essentially act three when we're finally seeing some Palm Springs realness. Like, I am ready. I was ready for Palm Springs, and I spent so many acts in Hollywood and then in an apartment. And I'm like, let's get to the pool.
You are 20 times Palm Springs than Lucy. Because Lucy
she's dressed like Island of Dr. Moreau.
She's showing zero skin. She is wearing a large robe, a big hat, sunglasses,
like a terry cloth robe that has her initials embroidered on the sleeve.
She is not dressed for the weather at all.
You know who is dressed for the weather?
Vivian Vance.
Oh. I was going to say all the gays that kept walking in.
Oh, I thought you were going to. Yeah.
The scene opens up with two homos walking in. One's wearing a Speedo A+, and the other one is wearing. He's wearing like tiny swim trunks and then a silk. It looks like a silk, like kind of like bowling style, like camp collar shirt. Mm-hmm. And it's like a huge satin collar. And it looks like they are. This is just in my head, but you know that like style of pattern that's like a whole bunch of little tiny like boomerangs or Saturns? Yeah. Like that's what I'm picturing it as. But it's like black, and I was like, that's amazing. I've never seen like a 1950s overshirt kind of. Oh, it's so good. I also noted they went to hang out with one woman, and I was like, two boys for every girl.
Palm Springs, the Palm Springs boys.
Yeah, that's what that is.
and that's the difference between me and you, because I'm like, ooh, Vivian Vance.
Man. Pretty soon I'm like, oh, Rock Hudson. Lucy's joke about why she's all dressed up is really good.
Yeah, she says that she pays for the sun, and it's her business if she uses it or not.
Yeah.
Which is not a very good excuse. I don't exactly know what it means that she's at the pool. Like it doesn't explain away why she's dressed like, you know, like the sun is about to explode.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine. So she's not a natural redhead, but in general redheads, like that's one of Lucy's character games. Everyone's like, that's from a bottle. She's not really redhead. So I'm wondering if like, she's so committed to the bit of being a redhead that she's like, well, redheads are usually fair skinned. So I need to be covering up. I mean, that's just me fan canoning over here.
I wish they did give an explanation for it.
Yeah.
Because it does stand out as being strange.
So then, Rock Hudson comes in. But
he's there with two people, which are Ricky and Fred.
Oh, right. Yes. I didn't know. I couldn't remember when we established that.
Yes. I looked away and looked back, and I'm like, oh, Ricky is pointing out Lucy to Rock Hudson as he walks to the pool.
So I love when he approaches Lucy, she is of course like, good, what? I do like when she like says her name, and then Ethel's like, Ethel Mertz. He's like, this is my friend, Miss Mertz. And then I love Lucy's response, like, Mertz? As if she'd never heard it before, and is like, this is a horrible last name. I love that.
Well, she wanted to side with Rock Hudson, and she would leave her friend by the roadside to be with Rock Hudson.
And then Ethel does the, would you like a piece of rock, Mr. Candy? Da-dun-dun.
Oh, Because she's sitting at the pool eating candy. She can eat all that candy she wants.
I mean, work. Honestly, I mean, that's a dream. Honestly, yeah. Like, you go to Palm Springs, it is no rules just right. You should be able to do whatever you want.
I've never been. You know, the times I've been
to California. You would love it. It's tiki. I went to that great tiki place and got very drunk. We got the thing where you get the one drink that's, like, basically a punch bowl and just...
The last time we went to Disney World, we went to the Trader Sam's, and you can buy drinks, and then if you buy the drink, you can also purchase the mug that the drink came in. But I don't drink alcohol, so Megan just had to keep ordering all these alcoholic drinks, bigger and bigger alcoholic drinks, so we could get the mugs. Now we have most of the mugs, which is good. I have never been to Palm Springs. I've been to Anaheim. I've been to LA.
Also, the vintage shopping. You see the Bob Newhart poster that is above my... Oh, that one up there.
Yeah.
I got that in Palm Springs because, I mean, like, I realized, like, oh, this is 2 hours away from Hollywood. Yeah. So, like, yeah, a Nick at Night promo poster from the early 90s of the Bob Newhart show. That was definitely... I mean, like, it's called... Like, it says, if you're in advertising, you need a shrink. And it's like, this is an inside joke. Like, this was not sold in Walmarts. Like, I don't know. So I own it now. I think the thrifting is great.
That joke was done better by Bill Hicks when he says, is there anyone here out there in advertising or marketing? Yeah? Kill yourself.
My God.
Rest in peace.
Oh,
rest in peace, Bill Hicks.
So then Rock Hudson is there because he's got bad news.
Oh, yes.
Adele Schiff, the script girl. How does he relate that? He needs to tell Ricky.
He needs to tell Ricky because it's a script girl that Ricky knows. It's a mutual friend, which is true or not. It doesn't actually matter.
Just gonna check out my lipstick.
Adele Schiff.
She was married 20 years and they had no fights until now. This totally fake husband whistled all the time. One note.
And then he proceeds to whistle one note several times.
Several times.
I'm going to do it because it's going to freak out the microphone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this, like, basically he's just there, like, teaching her a lesson on Fred and Ricky's behalf, because he's dead. The man is dead. Like, he got into a car accident and he went to the hospital.
With the whistling. The whistling didn't kill him. He got in a car accident.
Yeah. And then, then she went and she's like, he wasn't even whistling at the hospital. Like, he dead. And it's at this point that I wrote, this is a weird use of Rock Hudson. Just in general for the show. It's like, we are the Lucy show. Here, I Love Lucy, we're the number one show on television. We're going to have Rock Hudson on as a guest. What do we want to do with him? Do we Lucy all of a sudden becomes his manager? Lucy, the paparazzi snap photos of Lucy and Rock, and now all of a sudden everyone thinks that Lucy's having an affair. Like, there's so many things we could do. Palm Springs, Lucy goes to Rock Hudson's gorgeous mid-century home and breaks a vase or something, you know?
You're treating him like a one-use item in a video game. Like, you can summon Rock Hudson once in Final Fantasy.
That's it. You get a major movie star. It's like, okay, like when Brad Pitt guested on Friends, and it's like, they got Brad Pitt, and it's like, he's only in the episode for 5 minutes, and he's just telling a story about a man who died who isn't real, and that's the only...
Do you ever watch the show Psych?
No.
It's a very good show, and they have a recurring gag of Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears.
Mm-hmm.
He just shows up at places where they are. And it's never I think there are a couple episodes like that he is like a main character, but he always plays Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears.
That's so specific.
Like a place where they show that they are, or he shows up at a place they are. And it's just this wonderful extended running joke cameo. Why couldn't they do that with Rock Hudson? He's friends with Ricky.
He's everywhere.
You know,
at least for the Palm Springs, for the LA portion of it.
Yeah. We went down to the beach and got snow cones, and Rock Hudson was there, and we hung out with Rock Hudson, and he played a guitar. I don't know.
And so, like, this really, you know, makes them sad about, you know, they start thinking about dead husbands, and then they see Fred and Ricky and are just like, yeah, very, you know, they're happy. And this is where Fred is wearing the perfect suit.
The perfect suit. Not the perfect suit for poolside, unless you're like in the mob. But it is such a good looking suit.
Yeah, I don't think he drove 2 hours in this like suit. Like, man, I guess he really wanted to show off for Ethel.
Or for Rock Hudson.
Oh God. Oh.
Oh, did I just ruin?
I would love that. Oh my God. I mean, get
on AO3, write it up.
Fred Mertz and Rock Hudson slash fiction. Oh, what a door.
When you're putting together the thumbnail for this episode on YouTube, please include Fred Mertz. He looks good. He's okay.
Yeah, Ricky. Yeah, he's fine.
Neither of them are dressed for the pool or Palm Springs.
No, because it's like, probably very hot. Fred's wearing all black. Like, what are you doing?
Okay. He's wearing a double-breasted suit in poolside.
More fabric, no color. Yeah. And so then they're like, and then he's like, well, what about the Dory Sherry call? And then it turns out Lucy does a good Dory Sherry impersonation. That was loose. So, wow, they both, you know, wanted to see the other one, but weren't going to admit to it.
And the only way they could do it was by manipulating the other person.
And getting Rock Hudson involved.
Yeah, through Rock Hudson. Reconnect with wife via Rock Hudson.
That old plot. You know, we've all been there. And I mean, do I have any more Palm Springs facts?
I want to go. Like, it's right now. It's probably further down the list. Megan and I started putting together a list of like dream places we want to go, and she's like, we're talking about like. Inside the U.S., outside the U.S., we're talking about like Egypt and Mumbai. I don't know. Who knows where we're going?
Wow. Yeah. So I was, you know, trying to find research about looking into gay Palm Springs history. And
oh, you found it. I'm sure you did.
Well, I found like, I was like, Rock Hudson, how like known was he in Palm Springs? God damn. Sorry. My lipstick's like going crazy.
Going bananas.
It's just like, yeah, it's feeling weird. Maybe it's because I've never worn lipstick. No, I've worn lipstick this long before. So I was like, when was Rock Hudson in Palm Springs? Was there a long time? October 28th, 1954. I found an article titled "From the Palm Springs Desert Sun," which is the name of the newspaper in Palm Springs. "Weekend at Racket Club Gay Scene" was the headline. Just like, I love that. I love that like articles in the 1950s were basically like there wasn't Instagram. So the way to have FOMO and keep up with celebrities were articles and newspapers that are just lists of names. It's like at the Racket Club and then 30 names. And so like this was that one. Attracting much attention was the handsome young movie star Rock Hudson, who was with Betty Abbott, Betty Mitchell, Public Relations Department of Universal Studios, Bob Berman of Modern Screen, and Marjorie Pohl. So, but the Racket Club of Palm Springs was a resort that was founded by Charles Farrell and Ralph Bellamy, who were actors, and it included two tennis courts, a swimming pool, the Bamboo Room Bar. Sounds good. And then bungalows. And then it was demolished in July 2014 after a fire. So that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
And then another time I found Rock Hudson in Palm Springs, March 20th, 1972. Rock and his gay best friend, George Nader, was at George's Partners Art Gallery in Palm Springs. And it was a cocktail party hosted by Jolie Gabor for her daughters, Magda and Ava Gabor. So, love that.
That's exciting.
And... that's, I think, all of the stuff that I
so he was no stranger to it.
There
were plenty of times where he did not make the papers for being in Palm Springs.
It's all those, you know, your Rock Hudsons, your Tab Hunters, your, you know, your I mean, yeah, your 1950s heartthrobs who all hung out together and, you know, just Getty Images has lots of nice photos of all of them hanging out.
Roddy McDowell.
Oh, man.
He was part of that crowd.
Yeah. So was Robert Wagner. I'm not saying anything. I would just hope.
He knew everybody. He was Mr. Popular.
Mm. Do you ready for some must-have facts?
Oh, I'd love some must-have facts.
So, of course, Lucy was number one for the week, and it was watched by 23.6 million people, which is half of all televisions. They're all, of course, watching Lucy. But the ratings had gone down. It was still number one, but like I found articles being like, wow, the ratings have gone down this season.
Well, it was that, I remember it was the top rated show for four of its six seasons, which is amazing.
The five shows of that season that were the top five were five, Toast of the Town, four, You Bet Your Life, three, Dragnet, two, The Jackie Gleason Show, and number one, I Love Lucy. Disneyland was the number six show.
Yeah, 1955. When did this air?
This is the 54-55 TV season. This is April 54. April 55, I mean.
April 55. So this is 3 months before the opening of Disneyland.
Is Disneyland the show just them talking about what Disneyland's going to be like?
No, Disneyland the show was I mean, it's not a sitcom. I'd love to do an episode if we can find one.
You can.
Disney went into business with ABC because no one else wanted to work with film studios, or film studios were like, don't go to TV. It's a wasteland. They're competing with us. Disney's like, hey, I can advertise my movies and my cartoons through television. So he partnered with ABC, which was like the lowest of the low rated TV networks. And he says, we're going to put together a show. I'll host it. We'll show clips of my movies and my cartoons. And after a little while, he introduced, we're going to have this place called Disneyland.
Hmm.
And the way that the show worked was you could either have their episodes from Tomorrowland, which are kind of like future cartoons and like future things, Frontierland, Fantasyland, and Adventureland. And each one of those four different lands, which are in the parks, lent themselves to different
like TV genres. Shows. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have it's a Frontierland week, so we're going to watch Davy Crockett.
It's very smart.
Yeah. So once the Disneyland opened, Disney was in people's houses, you know, at least once a week.
Yeah.
In these TV shows, he had been hyping up the park. So people knew about Disneyland and they were psyched for Disneyland. So it's just like what, and then other people started realizing that, oh, TV is not competing with us. We can use TV for various things.
Yeah. Advertising.
Yeah.
More than just cigarettes.
Yeah.
CBS Monday night lineup that this aired as part of was the George Burns and Gracie Allen show, followed by that old Arthur Godfrey and his talent scouts, then I Love Lucy, then December Bride, and then Westinghouse Studio One.
So it's like, I don't know if those were half hour or hour programs, but they would be like, you know,
that one might have been an hour.
We'll be doing a play by so and so, or, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Hayden and Jess did so many of those, and I would like, I found a couple.
I'm surprised that you found them, because those were kind of like, they were like, I'm not going to say the soap operas of the day.
One and done, yeah.
Yeah, they were just like, they churned out. There were so many of those just like wall to wall.
Yeah, it was another way to advertise cigarettes. It'd be like, or alcohol, beer. So what are you watching? I don't know what ABC was airing. It was a weird night. But CBS is airing I Love Lucy. Lucy and Ethel meet movie star Rock Hudson. And then NBC is airing an episode of Medic. A damaged brain cell causes newspaper editors to learn to read, write, and speak all over again. I mean, I might watch Medic because what the hell is that?
I'm gonna
damage brain cell.
Can you? Is there another episode, another show? Because right now you can't beat Medic.
No, I couldn't find ABC. I couldn't. So like Monday night's a weird night because ABC usually airs College Press Conference. I don't know what that is, or boxing. And I couldn't find any boxing. I couldn't find any colleges talk about nothing. So I don't know. ABC was just kind of off the. They were just wilding out that night.
Well, as much as I love I Love Lucy, I'm very interested in Medic.
Yeah, because I don't know what is that a good thing that the damaged brain cell? Who's the newspaper editor? Like, what is? I've got a lot of questions.
Is one brain cell?
Is a damaged brain cell causes a newspaper editor to learn to read, write, and speak all over again? Is this a true story? I don't know.
I hope so. That gives me hope. That's fantastic.
So many. On IMDb, finally, an episode that people have rated, 325 I Love Lucy fans gave this an 8.2 out of 10. Would you go higher, lower, or is that right on the money?
I'd go 8.3.
Oh, wow. So,
because I'm sure that most of those people were not taking Fred Mertz's suit at the end into account. So just like, bump it up a little bit. Not a full point, but it was enough for me to comment on it when I was taking notes on it. So it's something else.
And you're not a menswear aficionado like I am.
Look, I bought my third pair of shorts literally yesterday. I wear jeans to everything.
I would probably give this a 7 compared to like the great Lucy episodes. That's why it's like this feels very much like the 26th episode of season 4 where they're like,
yeah,
okay, we're in Palm Springs and Rock Hudson's there and everyone's annoying. Like, and also because they wrote
each other, yeah,
they wrote every episode and it's like, yeah, we got to just get something out. So, but it is interesting and I think commendable that a total like workhorse, like just a total run of the mill, like average episode of I Love Lucy, it's still got good laughs and it's still like got good gags in it and it's still, you know, really fun, even 4 seasons in. Which I think nowadays would be like 6 seasons, 7 seasons in.
I didn't check to see how many episodes were in a season of Lucy.
It's like over 30.
Yeah, it's more than you get today. Now what they're doing is like they'll order 20 episodes and they'll air 10 and then they'll say, "Oh, it's been renewed," so you get the other 10 that they already knew that they were going to.
Yes, that's awful. Everything is horrible and everything is bad.
I hate to say it, but you're right.
Mhm. Who had the must-see performance? And I'm either giving it to that, to those gays walking into the pool, or
I'm giving it to Vivian Vance. I've made my loyalties known.
I'll give it to Fred's Fred just turning out looks.
Fred, he's so undeserving of all this praise.
Like, well, I mean, so like
he's abusive. He's
mean. Fred's style is not respected because it is. I mean, it's timeless. In the 90s, it was made fun of by Nick at Night. And I love it. Must other people see this episode?
There are better Lucy episodes.
Oh, yeah.
There are better Lucy episodes. I felt like you were right. They did kind of squander Rock Hudson.
Like, and Palm Springs. I'm just going to be honest. You tell me Palm Springs and Rock Hudson. I need solid 30 minutes of both.
What did we see of Palm Springs? We saw outside the window of their bungalow as it was raining. So that's a big printed picture with rain on it. And a pool fairly set. Small pool. Like a backyard pool.
Give me more.
Yeah, and Rock Hudson basically walked in, told a sad story, and then just hung around while people hugged. It was
done.
It was a waste of a Rock Hudson.
God, he's like, I got an afternoon free.
Yeah.
Get me in and get me out, please.
I'm sure they filmed it in probably less than a day.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
It took
I guess if it was in front of an audience, then like he was like, you know, I don't want to learn many lines. Give me one scene. I'll be out.
Yeah, I was interested about that because if they're filming in front of an audience, how hard is it for them to get a pool?
Yeah, that is interesting.
So I wondered if they did shoot that one on location.
Was there water in it?
Yeah, there was water in it.
And so I was like, how could, like, they could be pulling tricks with the black and white, you know, like, who knows? This is just like a bunch of cellophane or something. But yeah, that does it for the Pride for the first fierce episode of Must Have CTV Pride Month.
Right. This is
my people, my culture.
How many weeks are there in June? Can we get through 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s?
Four more I don't
weeks?
Know. I mean, well,
if we push it into July, we push it into July.
No, the gay agenda stops.
I'll have to look that one
never.
Up.
No, so we'll be going to the 60s. I'll have to look. I meant to like actually do this research and announce it, but I didn't. So
it would be great to do episodes that are themed or themed gay. But I think we might end up doing just kind of like gay actors like we did with.
Rock yeah, there's there are a lot of medical. Oh, no, I think it was an Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode that I can't remember what. There was an Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode that sounded fascinating. that was. Oh, my God. Let me actually see. Oh, my a list of LGBTQ. This is my face while I Google 60s episodes. Has a list of dramatic, list of pre-Stonewall riots, American television, LGBT themes. Alfred Hitchcock. Why? Was
Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Oh, yes. 1965, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, an unlocked window. A transvestite strangles nurses to death. The killer was portrayed by professional female impersonator T.C. Jones. I'm intrigued. A transvestite myself.
Do we break with the sitcom?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, hey, we've talked about Heart to Heart, and we're going to talk about Heart to Heart again at some point.
Heart to Heart is just as much a comedy as it is a... Like if we were watching Medic, I'd be like, yes, we're breaking with tradition more than so than Heart to Heart.
But I need to like research this T.C. Jones fellow because his spouse was named Connie S. Dixon. So
Barb.
I need to know Barb. if that's real.
We'll do the research.
A former actress and competitive fencer who owned a chain of beauty parlors in San Francisco.
Wow.
She, in fact, met Jones for the first time when he visited one of her parlors in search of a new wig for his performances. They never had children. So I'm just saying. I don't think they did.
Well,
we'll figure this out. It'll be good.
Well, yeah, now we have to find Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Who's
it screaming? Used to be on Peacock, but you know what? Who knows these days? Then maybe they don't want to keep paying rights to the Alfred Hitchcock estate, so they're going to nix it.
Or the T.C. Jones estate.
God, I hate everything.
Hey, everybody, if it's not available, see if you can pirate it.
Pirating is
free.
It's the only way we can ensure that we can actually watch all the stuff that I would pay for. That's the thing that drives me crazy, Disney Plus. I would pay. When they were like, we're going to get rid of the Howard Ashman documentary right ahead of Pride Month. And also before a Little Mermaid movie opens up, I'm like, what are you doing?
That was the dumbest thing they could have done. And they didn't do it.
The optics, PR.
People got really upset, but they shouldn't have done it.
No, like it's, but that's such like a bean counter move of like, if it hasn't been streamed X number of times, put it on the list. We're cutting it. No, don't look at it. Doesn't matter.
I would say that's very that. For Willow killed me because I loved Willow.
It's been out for 5 months, so it yeah. had its time. That's so stupid. We're living in a weird, stupid time.
Disney Plus let me down.
Not I as bad as that, you know they sorry, they guys. Will never do as bad a job as Max, as HBO Max.
Oh yes, Max. No longer HBO Max. It is Max.
For some reason, because you definitely don't want to be associated with one of the most enduring and recognizable brands in pop culture.
Now you're Max, run by David Zaslav, who got booed at his freaking
so good
Boston BU graduation.
Deserved speech. It.
Deserved it.
So where can people boo you?
Don't
in
boo
a good
me.
Way. No.
My ego's not that strong. Check me out at EthanK55 on Instagram. I don't believe I'm anymore on Twitter. I believe they destroyed my account because I haven't logged
in. Yeah, they're doing Twitter
later. But yeah, Instagram's a great place to catch up. Check us out on YouTube, Must Have Seen TV. We have a backlog of a couple episodes that we're going to get up on the YouTubes and Apple Podcasts. But yeah, Instagram's probably the best place.
And and you can follow me on Instagram at Barbara Hardley. And you can check out Barb Hardley's YouTube, which during Pride Month, I'm going to try to do daily recommendations of sitcoms and gay TV shows to watch. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Brett White as well. And, you know, keep listening to the podcast, watch it on YouTube, subscribe, rate, review, do literally everything, because it would just be nice.
We do this all out of love, out of love for you and the medium.
And you can count it as a good deed to a gay during Pride Month. Just saying.
I support that, you know, thumbs up.
Yay. I mean, I guess that's everything. Oh, thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. And, you know, we'll see you next time in the TC Jones Hour. TC Jones Hour with Alfred Hitchcock.
What are you watching? Medic or TC Jones Hour?
Always TC Jones. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.